Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
If you're feeling anxious about your investments with all the economic volatility and chaos in Washington, tune in to Super Talk Jackson on Wednesdays from 9 to 10 a.m. and Sundays from 8:30 to 9:30 a.m. for Element Wealth Radio with Jeremy Nelson. Learn more at myelementwealth.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in on this Sunday night to this edition of the podcast. My name is Michael Borky. Always glad that you are with me. Baseball sweeps the weekend to get the season started off strong. Really strong pitching over the three games for Ole Miss. Not so strong on the defensive side, which is an issue. We'll talk about that. Basketball suffers yet another pretty embarrassing loss, and whatever else comes up in the comments, we will get to as well on this edition of the show. I'm so glad you're here. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Just search Rebel Report wherever you get them. Spotify, Apple, does not matter. Hit that subscribe button, and if you like what you hear, leave a rating and a review. Also, this edition is brought to you by Logan Smith Shelter Insurance. Auto, home, life, or business. Auto, home, life, or business. Anywhere in Mississippi, Logan Smith Shelter Insurance will take care of you. If you already have that insurance with someone else, that's okay. Give him a call. It's worth the phone call. Don't forget to tell him that I sent you. He's got award-winning services, again, for auto, home, life, or business. 601-823-3500. And then, again, don't forget to tell him that I sent you. All right. Baseball sweeps the weekend. These non-conference series, it's always hard to get, you know, a great gauge of really what this team is capable of after watching them play Nevada for three games. I don't want to overreact positively or negatively. Like, the pitching was great. At least it looked great, especially starting pitching. You got to love what you saw there. They were really poor defensively, and that's a carryover over the last few years. Honestly, they've been really bad in the field, and it's deeply concerning. But I don't want to sit here and say, well, they suck again there, and it's going to cost them all these games. And I also don't want to sit here and tell you that they've got three starting pitchers that are going to shut every lineup down, and they're going to win a national championship. You know, it's hard to gauge a weekend like this, but you do like what you saw. You have to like what you saw by and large from this team, especially on the mound. But first hitting, Bassetta had five hits over the weekend in his 10 at-bats. Furness had four in his eight. Each of them scored five runs. Bassetta had seven RBI on the weekend, walked twice as well. Furness had three RBI and scored five runs. Udermark had four hits, scored seven runs, walked three times. Furness walked four times. Reuter had four hits in his seven at-bats. Dom Decker was 3 of 12, but also walked a couple of times and was 2 of 2 stealing bases. In fact, Ole Miss was perfect stealing bases this weekend, 5 for 5, and Nevada was 0 for 2. So there's a stat for you. Mark that and use it for something if you want. Braden Randall had 3 hits in his 7 at-bats. You had a rough weekend for Austin Folley. Mike Bianco talked after the game about, you know, him finally getting a hit, kind of just take a deep breath, and they know that he's better than the weekend that he put out. But again, it's baseball. It's one weekend. You shouldn't read too much into anything like that. So at the plate, pretty good weekend overall. 5 home runs as a team. So there you go. Pitching, really good. Hunter Elliott, really shaky top of the first, and then he settled in. That's what veterans do. Ended up striking out 7 and 5 complete, only 3 hits. The next day, Cade Townsend, 4 2/3. They only threw 54 pitches, and you know they don't want to extend starters if they don't have to this earlier in the season. But he struck out 8, and on 54 pitches, what was it, 48 strikes? He only threw 6 pitches out of the strike zone in 4 2/3, and then Rabe was good after that. 3 1/3, only gave up a couple of hits after him as well. Calhoun also, forgot to mention this on Friday, 3 2/3, scattered 4 hits, no runs, struck out 5 in relief later in that game. And then finally, Will Libert today, your first look at the Missouri transfer, had pretty pretty high level stuff. Did give up a couple of runs in five complete, but struck out seven. And yeah, I mean, really good, really encouraging starting pitching from the weekend. So a lot to like at the plate for the most part. A lot to like both starting pitching and in relief. It is Nevada, but still. But you have to highlight this and mark it and underline it and come back to this. Saturday's game much better than Friday and Sunday. I can't believe they got three games as scheduled in this weekend. I froze there for a second. They did not look like an improved fielding baseball team this weekend, and that is ultimately what cost them in the regional last year. I know pitching wasn't great either. Murray State sprayed it all over the yard, but they were really bad in the field. And here again, you've got a team that, I mean, the only offensive success Nevada had after the first inning on Friday was because of poor defense. And then you had a similar situation today. I don't know right now. This is going to be harsh. It's only one game, but I don't know if Pano's playable at the moment. And I know that they've got to get better defensively. It's one weekend. I don't want to make sweeping judgments, but it is a carryover of a problem that was their Achilles heel last season. They've got to be better in the field, and the middle infield has got to be better. And it certainly can, but it has to be. So by and large, you sweep, comfortably sweep. It was kind of rainy and stuff today. Mike Bianco made reference to that after the game, that it was just kind of gross and yucky, and Libert could have allowed that to affect him. He had long breaks in between his innings and pitched well. Pitching was really good. By and large, at the plate, pretty darn good this weekend as well. Just there's that one thing also that stands out. So you sweep, feels good, baseball's back. They won three games the way they're supposed to. It wasn't perfect, but it was a successful weekend. And we'll go from there. Two midweeks this week as well, so that'll be fun. Just baseball. You guys know me. I'm not the biggest baseball guy. My order in sports in the big three are football and basketball and baseball in that order. But the best part about baseball is there's constantly games. There's always something to look forward to. And you got two midweek games this week and a sneaky good mid-major coming up this weekend as well. So you got to like what you see there. That's about all I got for you. I don't want to be too intense about a weekend over Nevada, but maybe that's a mistake on my part. Basketball. Here is my thoughts on that. And it's not going to be too long either, because they are who they are at this point. And I hate that phrase, but that's what they are. Nobody should have been surprised by yesterday's result. But at the same time, that is a big, big problem, right? I know the players don't really care about rivalries, especially in the portal era where, I mean, none of them are even really from Mississippi anyway. But when you have the season that you've had and you don't get a great crowd, but you get a crowd, it's on Saturday, it's your rival who you beat earlier this year, and that's the effort that your team gives you. And they've been getting smoked, especially in second halves. They didn't really get actually played, I guess, better in the second half Saturday than they did the first, but they were completely non-competitive on their home floor against Mississippi State. And they've been non-competitive in second halves or down the stretch in these games in this losing streak. And I mean, the season's lost. They're not going to make the tournament. They're not good enough for that. There's nothing in them that has told you that they can make some kind of magical run to win the SEC tournament. So the season's a wash. All right. It's deeply disappointing. Because, and this is the overarching point, because we're not going to do much basketball moving forward, really, unless there's a change of some kind and until the portal opens. But what I want to caution fans, like in the discourse, right, in the conversation, is to not just give up basketball. That to me is the thing that needs to happen, as opposed to just dismissing basketball and not being bothered by this season. I think that considering what has been invested into this program, into this coach, into this team, you should be furious about the product that has been put on the floor for you. Now, I'm not saying fire the coach. I'm not saying that he sucks. He took Ole Miss to its second Sweet 16 ever, literally a season ago. So I'm not saying that he's just Chris Beard's magically become a bum or anything like that, but don't be indifferent about the results. That's really what I'm getting at, is don't be indifferent about the results. This team, this product is unacceptable relative to the investment that Keith Carter, that Ole Miss, that you, the fans, have put into this team. You are paying a coach an insane salary. I mean, he is getting paid like your football coach is getting paid. And the roster is a really, really expensive one. I know basketball in this state is easy to look past because baseball matters so much. But don't be indifferent by the results. Hold yourself to a really high standard because you're investing at a high standard. And the product on the floor does not match the investment that you have put into it. Things need to change. I'm not talking about firing the head coach. Again, that's not what I mean by change, but this season, this team is unacceptable. The effort's been bad. Rebounding's been bad for 3 years in a row. They have missed evaluations at a ton of spots, and it's all with millions upon millions upon millions of dollars invested into this roster, and it's unacceptable. So don't be indifferent. Be mad, because I think, this is just my opinion, I think you should be mad about the product that has been put on the floor. That doesn't mean you stop believing in the coach, but the coach needs to figure a lot of things out. It feels like from listening to him and kind of seeing and, you know, hearing things, that they're trying to pull as many strings as they can to figure it out, and nothing's working. And so maybe it's just this roster and next year's roster, which will be almost completely different, will come together better. But in two of three seasons now, you've been done in February. That's not totally fair, but when you're investing what you're investing, I think you deserve some answers. I think you deserve better than the, well, here's the starting lineup and like all that stuff. It's not cute anymore. There's only so much that I think you should put up with, in my opinion. I'm repetitive. Sorry. I know I'm a repetitive person, but elevate your standards, expect better, and demand more. I think you have a coach that absolutely is good enough to figure it out. You've seen it. He's got a track record for it. But right now, this is just unacceptable. It's just completely unacceptable. And some adjustments need to be made within the program to ensure that a season like this does not happen again. Because it's not just Saturday. I mean, they've been awful for a month. So, yeah. Anyway, podcast brought to you in part by Priority One Bank. They make you their priority every single day with their online banking platform. It's a one-stop shop. All you need is an internet connection, and you can do whatever it is that you need to do with your money. Also, local loan servicing and decision-making, so you don't need to hop on Zoom or talk to somebody out of state. It's people that will, it's in the name. They'll make you their priority. Again, 16 locations here in the state of Mississippi. Priority One Bank. Bank with me there at Priority One Bank. Also, Advantage Business Systems, absms.com is the website. All of your office technology needs, tell them I sent you, get a complimentary office technology assessment. Anywhere in Mississippi, absms.com. Did you watch the Daytona 500 today? I did not. I did not watch the Daytona 500 today. I watched Olympic hockey and Pebble Beach. Pebble Beach was fun today. Scotty made a late charge. It was an interesting day on the golf course. Basketball is now probably going to do what they really couldn't afford to do, even with the lost season, and that's bottoming out. Very disheartening after last season, for sure. Seen enough Ole Misses hitting 50 wins in a trip to Omaha. There you go. That's tempering expectations the way you should. No, but there was a lot to like this weekend. I mean, pitching takes you a long way, as you guys know, and a lot of people have been really high on this pitching staff, and you saw this weekend why. A lot of encouraging stuff. Good thing first for baseball, they swept the series rather easily, which they have not done since 2023. There is a major problem at shortstop. Middle infield as well. I mean, I like Dom Decker a lot, but Friday had a couple of opportunities to make plays, and he couldn't. Should we all just expect Josh Hubbard to do what he did Saturday after choking in the first meeting? Yeah, I mean, and I put this on Twitter. Ole Miss finding themselves in an early deficit was minus 5,000 in your sports book. That was Folly was awful to end last season at the plate, purely swinging for the fences. Yeah, 1-for-10 this weekend, as we mentioned. His head coach doesn't seem to be too worried at the moment, for whatever that's worth. Watch the 500, was bummed the 9 loss at the end. I did see the highlight, though. What was it, 3 wrecks on the final lap? That was nuts. It was absolutely nuts. When does conference play start in baseball, you ask? It starts on March 13th. Friday, March 13th is when conference play begins. And Ole Miss will be in Austin after a trip to Hattiesburg. That's a hell of a 4-game stretch right there for Ole Miss. They're in Hattiesburg. That's a good Southern Miss team that got a good series win this weekend. And then going to Austin, that's tough 4 games. They will they'll be tested that week for sure. Didn't even watch the basketball game. Saw a little baseball. Was it just me or did it feel like a low-key weekend even with baseball back? It was a little bit. And that's okay. I mean, it was Nevada, right? So much attention was paid to the Trinidad court case, understandably so, mind you. And I don't know if you've noticed the way the news cycle works. Those that were selectively outraged about it have already moved on to something else. But now you're starting to see the shift in, okay, now that he's back, what do you think of Ole Miss? And guys, Ole Miss is going to receive a ton of hype this offseason. There's going to be a lot of pressure on Trinidad in particular because of how much attention this received to perform. Luckily, he appears to be a guy that can handle that kind of pressure. I mean, he is mentally equipped, as we talked about many times. He's just so impressive mentally. That to me, that's his biggest strength. There's a reason that he's trying to come back to college so bad. So many people talking about, I even saw Jim Dunaway, who I like a lot, talking about him being a first-round pick. On no planet would he have been a first-round pick in this draft. He's got physical limitations that will prevent him from being an elite NFL prospect. Like, it just, there are things that he can't control, really, that are preventing him from that. But also some of the feedback that he got from the NFL was he kind of needs another year. There are some things that the NFL wants to see him do more of. But one thing that you cannot deny with his game is the mental side of it. He clearly has got that figured out, right? And so an offseason filled with pressure and Heisman and stuff like that, if anybody's equipped to handle that, that guy, to me, is able to handle that, right? But there's going to be a metric ton of it. Heisman odds, national championship contender, SEC contender, power rankings, going to have them 1 or 2 in the league or 3 in the league all offseason. He's going to go to media days, and there's going to be a swarm around him during that event. And again, I think he's absolutely equipped to handle it, but this is a unique situation for Ole Miss. A new coach is going to have that kind of pressure on this season. They've earned it. They've got the roster that's able to do it. But now that this court case is over, people are starting to notice, oh, wait a minute. So not only is Trinidad back, whoo, that Lacey kid's back too. He's a stud. Wait a minute. Lane only took 4 players with him to Baton Rouge and only 2 of them started? Oh, wow. Let me look at the portal class. Wait, they're number 2? In the portal class? Oh, goodness. Wait, look at the highlights of this Deuce Alexander kid. You see what I mean? People are going to start paying attention to the actual football. And so the hype is just going to keep growing throughout this offseason. Are you surprised at the way Jantz has basically dominated Ole Miss and dominated Beard since he's been at State? Well, that's a fascinating thing because obviously Beard has the postseason success. He has more, not only more, he has postseason wins in which Jantz does not. Yeah, a little bit. I am a little bit, but Jantz is also a hell of a coach too, you know? So Jantz beating anybody isn't surprising. You're watching from South Carolina. Good to see you. Good to see you. This team has defensive issues. Luckily for them, they weren't in dogfights or outright lost a game like other baseball teams this weekend. Yeah, a lot of upsets around college baseball this weekend. They got to fix that, though. Why do people still care about this basketball team when the head coach himself has to call out his team midseason to demand more effort and begs them to care more? Why should you? Well, that that's the other side of the conversation. Like in one of my group messages, somebody was, you know, really upset at the crowd. And it's like, they don't deserve a crowd. Well, but it's Mississippi State. I don't care. They have not earned a big crowd. They are not, they have not played with the effort that is worth taking time out of your day to go watch. Why do people still care about this basketball team, Austin? Because they are, one, fans care about their teams, but there's been real investment in basketball, and you tasted that success a season ago going to the Sweet 16. But not only that, Texas A&M came after Chris Beard, and Ole Miss stepped up and paid him a massive salary, and this team got, this team is so highly paid, and they're performing like this, and they're putting out effort like this, and it's that, that's, I think people need to care more about what is happening on the floor. Maybe not by showing up, right? Because again, the team hasn't earned a big crowd, but people should be madder than they are, in my opinion, about what's happened. You can't, nah, whatever. I'm being very repetitive. Sorry. Seeing the team wear the pinstripes today reminds you again how Nike butchered all of the rest of the uniforms. The older ones were perfect. You know, and there's a Twitter account that I follow called End Fanatics, because Fanatics is a, I think Fanatics is the worst thing to happen to sports fans. It's the company that has a complete monopoly on sports apparel. And it's garbage, all of it. It's expensive and it's garbage. It's a Twitter account called N Fanatics is what it's called. And I love what they're doing, because they're just exposing how awful, completely overpriced. So it's overpriced. The products are garbage and getting worse. It's cheap crap that is misprinted and crooked and limited in options. It's horrible. And the quality control is awful. And it's just exploiting you, the fan, because the only way to get gear is through them. But they pointed out that since Nike has taken over the uniforms, the colors are wrong. Like you bring up the powders today. They screwed up the powders. Nike did last year. And so they're not even wearing them this year because they screwed them up again. Well, they're screwing up NBA uniforms. Like the Lakers gold now versus then. The Saints gold now versus them. The colors are even off. It's not just the Ole Miss powders that they've screwed up. They've screwed up everything, and it's a shame, because Sunday powders were just a quirky little thing that I really liked, and they've completely butchered it. And even the uniforms that Ole Miss got, if you look closely, like the creams, the numbers are bad. I mean, it's just, it's so awful. And you guys are the ones, I say you guys, I'm a fan. I buy gear all the time. My gosh. I mean, I want to take my son to a Pelicans game, and I mean, we'll get tickets cheap because they suck out loud, but the to get him a new shirt because he grew out of his old one, it's like $40. And it's going to come in, and it's going to be this cheap cotton that's going to shrink weird, and then the logo is going to be crooked. It's horrible. Not surprised they lost, and in the grand scheme of things, no one in their side really cared that much, but it's just not a good sign for the program. Beard has his work cut out. Yes, they do. If I told you Chris Beard's the coach in 2 years, are you shocked? No, not shocked. Basketball got lucky in hindsight that football took up as much time and oxygen as it did, and now baseball is here, basically just in time to distract fans in another direction. You are right about that. You give Beard a complete free pass year one. That was a piece together team on short notice that did win games. Last year was the real first step of Beard's program. This time it was a bust. Yep. Austin with the super chat. Thank you so much, man. Really, really appreciate you. Always love your support, buddy. Got to hear your take on the news about Sacramento State and California joining the FBS, and they're going to be in the MAC. What say you? Conference realignment, this is what I say. This is another example. Conference realignment has done more damage to college football than NIL and transfer portal combined. It's so stupid that we have leagues the size that we do, where the ACC, some teams are playing 8 conference games, some teams are playing 9 because they have an imbalanced conference, right? That's happening in the ACC. And then you get a situation where Duke makes the ACC championship instead of Miami because of imbalanced scheduling. And, I mean, look at some of the Big Ten schedules, because there are so many teams that it's gone too far in that direction. And on top of that, in the other sports, you've got UCLA having to play Rutgers in conference games, Cal and Stanford in the ACC, now Sacramento State in the MAC. I mean, it's that is a bigger problem. We used to have very specific conferences that were in a very specific region that all made sense, and now the Pac-12 is dead, and the Big 12 is scattered all over the country. None of that makes any sense at all. There was like regional pride almost in college football that made sense, and like it made bowl games more fun even. There was just so much, it made so much more sense than it does now, where you have these conferences that are just spread out all over the country, and the only reason why they exist is because of money and not because of location. It's so stupid. And it's messing up the playoff, and it's messing up scheduling, and it's messing up playoff selection, and strength of schedule numbers are all out of whack. It's horrible. Beard gets the mulligan for you this year, flop again next year, and maybe we can talk about changes. I do think you have to add a GM, consider talent evaluation type stuff. You got to make those kind of changes. Not a head coach, though. You're right about that. Just have a hard time investing in the Olympics. It's hard for me to support people who clearly have never have anything nice to say about the country they represent. Well, I will say this. There are a lot more Olympians that have either not said anything or have said only glowing things than the ones who have not. So I would say don't punish, quote unquote, punish others for things that they did not say. The hockey teams in particular are all in about what representing their country means and things like that. I mean, it's you have a very small number of athletes that have said things that people view as disagreeable, but not every American Olympian has done that. So, for whatever that's worth. Not sure why the baseball team isn't ranked by D1. That will probably change soon, as early as tomorrow. Do you think Chris Beard's having a hard time coaching in the new NIL era? He's big on building relationships, and it seems hard to do in the pay-for-play era. Now, I mean, they did it last year, and that was a roster that had a lot of transfers on it. But, I mean, you had Brakefield and Morrell that were Ole Miss lifers, sort of. I know Brakefield is a transfer too, but you know what I mean. He was there for a while. That certainly helped that. I don't know. That's a good question. I think, you know, a lot of people have mentioned that the program needs a GM. I can't believe they don't have one presently. Soccer team has a GM. So how do you think North Dakota State, Northern Illinois will shape up in the Mountain West? I have a feeling in 4 years, North Dakota State's going to regret making the move to where they're not winning championships anymore. With Trinidad back now, which team is higher ranked in the preseason, Ole Miss or LSU? I have a feeling it will still be LSU by a spot or two. Brand bias will help that, possibly. So I'm not being flippant when I answer this way. I promise this is the right answer. If you want to buy you and congratulations, your fiance season tickets, but you've never been one before, call the ticket office tomorrow. They'll walk you through it. Just call them. That's the best answer. That's not a flippant answer. That truly is the best answer. Give them a call tomorrow and they will they'll walk you through the entire process. Drew Brees and Joe Montana were short quarterbacks. Yeah, look, I've made some people in the radio audience mad talking about Trinidad's pro prospects. There is a reason that he has fought so hard to come back to school. And it's a good thing, by the way. It's good for Ole Miss. But the people that say that he's a first-round pick right now are wrong. They have gotten feedback from all levels. I mean, GM, agent, scout. There's a reason that Joe Judge has been so involved in this process. And no, Joe Judge would not lie about feedback to Trinidad to keep him in school. I saw somebody say that, and that's just garbage. That would never happen. They have solicited feedback from so many people, and the feedback that they've gotten from the NFL is you're not ready yet, or you're not a first-round pick right now. And there are things that he has some limitations in his game that make him a prospect that is not considered an elite prospect. Doesn't mean he's not a great college player. It doesn't mean he can't become a great pro. I mean, Drew Brees, Hall of Famer, first ballot, Super Bowl champion, 6 feet tall. So, you know, he's not prototypical either, but he's more of a unicorn than, well, he was, so every short quarterback is going to be great too. He's an outlier. So the feedback that they've gotten is try to stay in school. That's what they've gotten. And again, that doesn't mean he can't go be a pro. That's what the radio audience doesn't hear. People don't understand how difficult it is to become a quarterback in the NFL. There are only a very small handful of teams that actually need a quarterback right now anyway. So I'm just fighting a losing battle with that on the internet, because I got to just log off sometimes, man, because people just, they either A, see like some random account that has him as a mock in a first round. They just made it up and believe that as gospel. Or as I've learned with some on the radio audience, saying that, hey, he's not a first round pick is like somehow a slight against him. I just got to stay out of stuff like that, I guess. It was a weird week last week with that. If both teams are undefeated going into September 19th, the LSU-Ole Miss game will be a top 10 matchup, College Game Day. Yeah, and Game Day will take the signs away, but they will not be able to stop the chance. Most seasons, State and Ole Miss go 1-1 in basketball. Yeah. Don't think Ole Miss fans will care if they go 0-2 versus State, if that means a tournament run, judging by last year. Absolutely. Think bigger than that, for sure. Okay, basketball, a really good crowd versus Auburn back in January, and it was a boring, lifeless product. That's what they've been now. Yeah. The red baseball jerseys now have a pink color to them. They're horrible. Yeah, Fanatics has ruined the sports memorabilia industry. Absolutely. And now everybody else that makes it tries to price you out too, because they have to, or they don't have to compete with somebody that is putting out fair prices. It's a joke. You have to go to some Chinese knockoff website to get a good jersey. It's my son's favorite sport, soccer, I think, right now. You don't like the creams? The navies with the new template look the best, you guess, but that's not saying much. Yeah, it's all bad because of Nike. They're poorly produced uniforms. Great college and great NFL quarterbacks can be different players all the time. Jackson Dart's a better NFL quarterback prospect than Trinidad, but I would consider Chambliss the more dynamic college player. Absolutely. Jackson Dart could not have done what Trinidad did last year. There's your take of the night. That might upset people. But it's true. I don't think Jackson Dart could have done what Trinidad did last year. And Jackson Dart's a better pro prospect. That's just how it is. That there's a reason that he's fighting for it. And I mean, he'll make a bunch of money, and deservedly so, at Ole Miss, and he can improve his draft stock. Or if it stays the same, he made a bunch of guaranteed money and then is going to try his hand at the NFL with a lot more in the bank than he currently has. It's a no-brainer decision for him to try to stay in school. Complete no-brainer. But there are so many people that during this process, I learned that there are so many people in my business that are completely unwilling to just read basic information about what they comment on. That's the biggest thing that you learn during that process, is there are people that were doing full podcasts and full shows about that situation without having read anything about it or watched or consumed anything about the trial. That clearly happened last week. And yeah, Josh Allen wasn't a world beater in college. No, he wasn't. But what was Josh Allen? A giant who can run and is physical and has a cannon for an arm and upstairs put together. So we all do a whole radio show when the baseball starts at 4. We will. Yes, we will. We go the whole time no matter what. Saw a guy do a 30-minute video on the trial, and he got the town name and the judge's name flat wrong. See? And so right there, does that tell you that he consumed any of it and actually gave honest commentary about it? How many people, John, do you think know that the NCAA did not call a single witness or did not present any counter medical opinion at all? How many people do you think actually know that? So when you come at, oh, he wasn't sick, it's all BS. Well, then why didn't the NCAA actually present anything to counter that at all? Why didn't they? Because they didn't even try. They didn't bother trying. Oh, they knew it was a sham. Well, wouldn't you want to expose said sham? I said this on Thursday. If you know the trial's a sham, wouldn't you want to put your best foot forward and expose it to the world? They didn't even try. They didn't bother. They didn't bother. Is Baker Mayfield the closest comparison to Chambliss, except Trinidad has more athleticism? Ooh, let's see. Baker Mayfield is, but Baker is 6'1", 215. Okay, no, 6'5", so almost 6'1". All right, what do they list Trinidad as? I would love to know what he will actually. So they list him at 6'1". I don't think he's 6'1". So ESPN lists him at 6'1", 200. Ole Miss lists him at 6'2", 200. He's not 6 feet tall, I don't think. Like the official NFL shoes off, 6 feet tall. Maybe I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. That'd be great for him if he gets that six in front. But that's an interesting comp. Baker's resurrected his career. He was forgive my language, everybody. He was a shithead at first and settled in. You don't have to worry about that with Trinidad. He is put together upstairs, man. And you see that in the way he plays too. Mentally, nothing's too big for him. He's very composed. So anyway, interesting week and a good successful weekend for Ole Miss. I'm going to hang it up. I really appreciate you guys being here. As always, don't forget to get to subscribe. You should be having 2 extra interviews on this feed next week. So don't forget to subscribe so you can see them. And yeah, I will see you guys live on Tuesday, but you're getting a couple more extra interviews this week. So I will see you guys on Tuesday and be on the lookout for the extras. See you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.